Good evening, everybody. This is the October 17th meeting of the Ferndale City Council. Let's stand together, and our community development director, Yorba Bennett, will lead us in our salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. Have a seat. Our city clerk will now do the roll call.
Council members are here. Councilmember Hanson. Here. Council member Taylor. Here. Council member Watson. Here. Council member Gersh. Here. Council member Gersh. Here.
Everybody's here and accounted for. And this time in our meeting, we go to what's called public comment. So if you want the agenda for the meeting, it's up front. You can pick one up. And if you like to talk about something and it's on the agenda, we'll let you do that later in the meeting when we cover that item. But if it's not on the agenda, come up to the microphone, introduce yourself, tell us who you are, where you're from, and you've got 3 minutes. If you are a student, you get extra credit for doing this. Okay, I don't see any takers today, so we will close the public comment. Now going on to the consent agenda. Council, what's your pleasure? Councilmember Olson.
I will be voting no on the consent agenda, specifically for resolution vehicle use policy. I don't accept the explanation that was provided. But in order to save time in the 1-6 vote, I'm not going to yank it off.
Sounds good. That,
we'll put it forward.
Motion to move on the consent agenda.
Second.
So we moved and seconded to adopt the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay.
Nay.
It passed 6-1 with Councilmember Olson voting no with the objection that he noted earlier. Going on to Mayor Proclamation. Here we go. I shall read this. That will keep it shorter. Sister City Proclamation. Whereas the Sister City Program was founded by President Dwight Eisenhower for the purpose of, quote, creating a network that would be a champion for peace and prosperity by fostering bonds between people from different communities around the world, and whereas the free and open exchange of ideas, cultures, and institutional knowledge strengthens our community as a whole, and whereas the city of Ferndale has been engaged in a sister city relationship with Nami Boso, Japan, since 1991, and whereas this cultural exchange has enriched both communities and broadened our understanding of the world, and whereas in honor of our 25th anniversary of this relationship, the city is hosting a delegation from Japan, including the mayor of Minami Boso. Now, therefore, I, John Muncher, mayor of the city of Ferndale, do hereby proclaim a day of celebration, October 27, 2016, in honor of our sister city, Minami Boso, Japan. In Ferndale, the spirit of international cooperation and shared prosperity through trade and cultural exchange is to be shared and honored. And that is the proclamation. Thank you very much, council and visitors today. Going on to presentation by, it's Kathy Vetter that will share tonight presentation on the American Cancer Society. And it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I believe, and some of us are wearing some pink.
Good for you.
Welcome. Nice to have you back.
Thank you. As I said, my name is Kathy Vetter, and I'm the American Cancer Society Northwest Washington lead volunteer, and happen to also be part of Ferndale. So, breast cancer is the most common cancer in women diagnosed in the United States, and the chance of a woman being diagnosed with invasive breast cancer during her lifetime is 1 in 8. The chance of a woman dying from breast cancer is 1 in 37. So, still some pretty significant numbers. But the good news is there are 3.1 million breast cancer survivors now surviving in the U.S. 2,600 new cases of male breast cancer are diagnosed each year, and 260,000 female cases are diagnosed each year. The American Cancer Society is a leader in helping finish the fight against breast cancer by investing in research, in providing free and comprehensive screening and support to people who are affected by breast cancer where and when they need it in their communities. They help people reduce the breast cancer risk and to make sure that they have early detection screening. Programs here in Whatcom County that I want to make sure you're aware of include Road to Recovery, which is providing rides to patients who are in treatment who may not have the ability to get to treatment without a volunteer. We provide hotel lodging. We have a number of our hotels in the community that provide us with overnight lodging for people who are undergoing treatment and need to have a place to stay. They can't afford to always handle that and it's not covered by insurance. We provide mastectomy and hair loss products, breast cancer to breast cancer survivor support, and patient navigators to help navigate the cancer treatment system, which can be daunting if you've been involved with that. Those issues are funded, and programs are all funded by Relay for Life. And Paint the Town Purple, which I'm proud to say Ferndale completed this past year, and are hoping we'll do again this next year. Through Real Men Wear Pink, and also through 2017, inaugural Making Strides Against Breast Cancer event, which I'm currently looking for a location in Whatcom County to hold. So just letting you know that we're out there, we're doing a lot of research, and I'm hoping all of you will join me in the fight against breast cancer. And to that end, I brought something for you tonight, if I may. I have for the men, I have Real Men Wear Pink bracelets or buttons, and for the ladies, I have buttons or bracelets or scarves. So let you each take some.
Council, any questions of Ms. Bedford? We're glad that you're here.
What kind of location are you looking for your event? Because we have our community center. Do you need a kitchen? Or
we actually need the space to walk and set up vendors for cancer survivor information and possibly to do a breakfast or something. So, we are looking for a location for that.
Okay. I would talk to staff and see if it would work for you.
Sounds great. Mm-hmm. Yep, we're excited and hoping to have Ferndale Paint the Town Purple again in July next year.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for coming tonight.
Can I get that?
Oh, man, you're so close to getting the car.
Very good. Moving along, I'm looking for somebody from District 7 firefighters. We had an EMS presentation, levy presentation. Well, sometimes people come at strange times, so we will keep our eye open. Firefighters are generally easy to recognize. They really are. So moving on. Capital Projects update, and I think I saw Katie Ratter in the back. I don't see Kevin, so you're it. We're glad you're here.
Yes. Good evening, Council. My name's Katie Ratter. I'm the Capital Project Manager. I'd like to start off by introducing one of our newest employees. Thanks to Council for helping us out with that. I'd like to introduce Kyle Anderson. He started about a month ago. He is our new Capital Projects Inspector. He's worked for about the last five seasons for the City of Bellingham, so we stole him from Bellingham, so that's great news.
Makes it taste even better.
He's got prior experience with surveying and some engineering tech. So we're really glad to have him, and I would like to thank you all again for supporting us with creating this position.
Kyle, why don't you say hello and tell us what you think of Ferndale? You're not shy, so go
no,
for
I'm
it.
No, I'm not shy. You guys will figure that out over time. So, yes, very excited to be here. I do live in the northern part of the county, not in Bellingham, so this is actually a great opportunity for me and excited to be part of Ferndale's future and watch it get built together. So thank you guys for having me. And
when I knew that Kyle was a winner was when we placed him in the – it's not an office. It's the hallway that we use for the auditors, and you treat it like the Taj Mahal. You've moved in thoroughly, pictures and posters and quizzes on the blackboard, so that's a great nature.
Come get the word of the day or math problem of the day.
I did try the math problem. You saw that. Did I get it right?
I think so.
Okay, I was wondering. Yeah, I was curious if my math still worked.
I'd hate to correct the mayor.
Yes, you would. Indeed. Thank you very much.
So we're looking forward to the next construction season. He's got a great eye for detail, so it's gonna be good. It's gonna help us out a lot. Just to kind of give a brief overview, if you remember Washington Street, That's between Vista to 3rd. That project was recently mostly completed, and the roadway was reopened on September 30th. So we've got a few items that are left to be done there, mostly just punch list items. There is a railing that we need to install on the south side of the road where the creek crosses through, kind of across the street from United Church of Virginia. I would like to specifically point out that we are very thankful that the Ferndale School District was so easy to work with. I know it was a real challenge. We tried our best to get that project done prior to the start of school. Unfortunately, some issues cropped up where we had to deal with some unexpected utility stuff, which impacted the schedule tremendously. But we were able to work with the school. Bo and I contacted the school district, and it was really a good experience as far as a group effort getting the word out to parents and students and, folks there that are driving to and from the school. And so I would just like to point out that that was a really, really good thing. And I think, we closed Malloy, or, turned Malloy into a one-way street. First day of school happened, and we decided to have a kind of an impromptu meeting with the school district in the cafeteria. And it's like we kind of stood around and looked at each other, and it's like, whoa, that went really well. So we're hoping that the community felt the same. But, so I don't know if anybody has any questions about that project.
Council, questions of staff? Okay.
Next on the list is our Central City Water Project. As of last, I believe, Wednesday, everybody was connected over to the new system. So all that remains on that project is some cleanup work. We've got some paving to do on Heather. They'll be backfilling, tidying up people's yards, addressing punch list items and that sort of thing. So we should be pretty much done within the week as far as that project goes. So I don't know if anybody has any questions about that.
Thank you.
All right. Last on my short list is sanitary sewer pump station 2 and 3. That project's really kind of ramped up. We are mostly working on pump station 2. You'll see a lot of activity there. It's a very small site. There's dump trucks and excavators and cars and bears and lions and tigers. So that work's really gotten underway on pump station 2. Tomorrow we have a fairly major item that's going to occur. We need to tie in our new force main, replacing the force main between the pump station building and the bridge. And so that's going to occur tomorrow. While that happens, you basically have to shut down the pump station, which means we have to do creative things with the sewer to keep it where it needs to be. And so there will be some minor traffic impacts at the intersection of Main Street and First and Holvander, while we'll be trucking actually some of the sewage around to the plant. And so the Ferndale PD has graciously offered to help us at the intersection of First and Main. And then there will be a flagger at Holvander just to stop traffic temporarily to get that truck in and out so we don't have any delays. But other than that, things are going fairly well. We were impacted a little bit by the impeding storm last week. And so we're a little bit delayed on making this tie-in, but I think we were able to work with the contractor and get things worked out for the best for everybody that's involved. So that project is on pretty much on schedule, maybe about a week or two later than what we think, or what we initially thought as far as our completion schedule is going to be. We should be tied up. That project should all be wrapped up by the first part of December.
Councilman Goodrich.
I was just curious. I drove by the project on Barrett there, but I don't know which
station. Pump station 3.
Mm-hmm. 3. And I was wondering why there's no construction fence around it like there is at the one here on Main Street. I thought it was kind of weird that it's kind of out in the open there.
Yeah, they don't. They're able to store their materials. We've got a Connex box that the city uses for flood materials. So we're able to share that space with the contractor, so they're able to lock up their stuff. The rest of the site is buttoned up with steel plates and that sort of thing. We've got some open excavations at pump station 2 where you want to be able to keep
people from, you know, falling into open holes and that sort of thing. So that's what the construction fence is all about.
Thank you.
I think that's about all I had for today.
Thank you. Katie Ratter, glad that you're here today.
Thank you.
Going on in your program, item G is ordinance adopting public defense standards. I think this is our city administrator, perhaps?
Sure. Yeah, there were some court actions in the past, both at the district, federal district level, as well as the Washington State Supreme Court, having to do with, and these terms are fairly synonymous, public defender or indigent defense. That is, if you remember back to the old police shows, you know, if you can't afford an attorney, one will be appointed for you. We've all, I think, as kids, heard that over the airwaves over and over. Well, there needs to be a meaningful defense for these folks that cannot afford to hire their own attorneys. And part of that responsibility falls to the city. And through these court cases, they were able to quantify exactly what that means to a greater extent. And so now we're required to adopt the indigent defense or public defender services standards. And what it really does, it sets up a few things, the biggest of which is that it literally limits the number of cases a public defender can have. In a lot of ways, that makes sense. If he's going to offer a defense for those folks that have him assigned, then he needs to spend a sufficient amount of time to learn his client's needs and actually adequately represent him. So there were cases, not so much here, but there were cases in other areas where the courts determined that the caseload the public defender had was just excessive. They weren't able to offer a meaningful defense. So now that we have these numerical limits as to the complexity of the case, as to how many they can carry at any time, we need to adopt these and then monitor the performance of our public defender. What it will probably mean, or what it could mean, is that we may actually have to have agreements with more than one public defender so the workload can kind of be shared around. Right now, we've been able to avoid that to the extent that if there's a conflict, if the public defender has a conflict with a particular person who was charged with something, then he refers it to another firm. But this will allow us to not only establish in code what those limits are, but then also periodically monitor the activities of our public defender. Because our public defender is a public defender in more than one municipality, it's the combined workload. So it's just not how many cases he has here in Fernando, it's how many cases he has in total. So we'll need to collect that information on an ongoing basis to be sure that we can guarantee that those folks that cannot afford to hire their own attorney will have an attorney assigned to them, and that attorney will have sufficient time to adequately oppose the defense.
Questions from counsel? Counsel, what is your pleasure?
Move to approve the policy as written.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the ordinance G on adopting the public defense standards as presented by staff. Is there discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of adopting the ordinance, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And the ordinance has passed 7-0 on the public defense standards. The next item is the credit card policy, and I think I'll take this one with a brief introduction. I know that staff and the mayor value and appreciate the oversight role that the council has on financial matters of the city, and we value very much your commitment to the financial integrity of the city and your stewardship role. I think it's very important. And you guys have worked really hard on this ordinance. It's been frustrating at times for you. It's been frustrating on occasion for the mayor and frustrating on occasion for staff. You've worked very hard, hammered out an ordinance, which is before you and has come through the Finance Committee. So with that introduction, Council, what is your pleasure? Councilmember Hanson.
I move that we accept the credit card policy revisions as presented.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the city credit card policy as presented in the staff report. Is there discussion? Councilmember Olson.
I am not going to support that. I don't, again, I probably have led the charge against spending taxpayer money for food and beverages when we have plenty of citizens who don't have to go to the food bank just to get food, yet we're spending their tax dollars on entertaining people. So for that reason, I will not support it.
Are you folks ready for the question? All in favor of adopting item H, resolution on the credit card policy, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
It's passed 6-1, and the policy has been adopted. Thank you, City Council. And we are now moving toward the end here. It looks like mayor reports. A few items before we have, and I'm looking for a guest that I told her we probably wouldn't need her till about 6:45. So what I have is our new student, Planning Commission sort of member, non-voting member. And her first name is Jensen. And so she might sneak in before we get out, like, to introduce her to you. Again, she will be a non-voting but fully participating member of the Planning Commission. She was selected for us by the leadership teacher. Is she not here? No, she would say something. So she's not here. So my other item was I wanted to publicly thank Rebecca Saar and her family and the Parks Board for that amazing addition to Griffintown Park. That got a lot of buzz and spin. It was a lot of fun. I got there early enough to write something on there, and that was very, very cool. So I want to thank you for that. The last item is the Japanese Sister City Program. The Japanese Sister City Committee has, I think, really developed a great week for these visitors. There will be 12 of them coming from Japan. They're going to spend time in the city. They're going to spend time down at Lummi Nation and be well taken care of. Of course, the highlight is the Thursday evening event, which is October 27th. Probably. And we do hope y'all can come and meet these folks. It won't happen again for another 25 years, I hope. It's been really quite something, and quite a learning experience. They really sound like great people, and so I think it'll be an interesting time. I think some really neat surprises are planned for that evening. So that is starting at what time, Riley? Give me some
6:30 at the Pioneer Pavilion.
Yeah, that's nearby. So that's all of mayor reports and council reports. Councilmember Goodrich.
I will not be here for the committee meetings on the 2nd of November. I will be in Norfolk, Virginia.
Very good.
And then I also will not be here for the Sister City program. I'll be someplace else.
We will miss you. Thank you very much. Councilmember Watson?
This community meal this Saturday, the 22nd, 10 a.m. to noon. Everyone is welcome. It's Chili Mac. And we also have the Cornhole Tournament for the Boys and Girls Club on Saturday from 1 to 6. That's a big fundraiser for them. Lots of fun if you want to come play.
Sure.
It's beanbag toss if you want to know what it's...
I was wondering what that was. Councilmember Taylor.
Wednesday, the Ferndale Chamber Lunch. Friday evening is the Spaghetti Feed at the Senior Center.
Hey,
remember,
right.
They came and asked us if we would volunteer. And then...
some of us did volunteer, so... more
this Saturday?
Is that just Wednesday night?
I thought it was Friday.
It's Friday.
Spaghetti's Friday.
Spaghetti's Friday.
Because I think I'm supposed to play.
You're supposed to play music.
I think so.
Yeah.
Gosh. Spaghetti.
And the day that the kids are trick-or-treating downtown Ferndale, the Ferndale Community Resource Center will have coffee and stuff, an open house.
That's the 29th, right?
Right.
Doing the day and then...
3 to 5.
Part,
yes.
3 to 5.
Any other councilmen? Thank you very much. Any other councilmen have reports? You probably knew we lost some of our officers, retired officers. Is it Tom Kane, I believe?
Yes.
Yeah. So I just want you to know, besides, sad to lose him, was that the police department really went out to help his family over the last couple of years, and they were there. I know the chief was at the hospital all the time, and kind of in my world, we'd say he was well-loved and cared for. So, and his service, I think, is on Thursday? Okay. We're not quite... Oh, staff reports. Excuse me. Let's go down the line. Community Development Director.
I actually do have a number of them. Brenna, our GIS technician, has been working all year with the Transpo Group on updating our online GIS map, mm-hmm. and also incorporating a number of other kind of cool features that will have it be more than just a map, but more of a tool, a lot easier to get around, navigate. So... we're gonna. It's in its beta version right now, but that's gonna be coming online before the end of the year for sure. So we'll unveil it. We are also working with Code Publishing, which puts our code online, where very soon it's going to have a hover function for definitions. We're going to be bringing something to you at an upcoming council meeting to kind of consolidate our definitions together more than they are now. But rather than having to go through the code to find the definitions, you'll be able to hover over a word and see it. That's going to be a similar feature to what we'll have in our development standards, which are going to be coming to you pretty fast and furious over the next couple of meetings, where the Public Works Department has been working really hard, and I've been helping them and our consultant to update those standards. That includes the street width discussion that you've been having as well. Coming soon will be accessory dwelling unit questions for you, possibly adopting an ordinance to allow accessory dwelling units. The Planning Commission's been working hard, and they want to cap it at a certain number so that we can kind of have a safe, soft landing for accessory dwelling units, so we don't all of a sudden get inundated with a million of them. Also, in the next couple of meetings, we'll be looking at some comprehensive plan amendments for 2016. The ones that you did last year were all put into play starting in 2015, so these are just kind of some finishing touches. And then lastly, several council members, Riley and the mayor and I, have been working on the Ferndale Made concept, where
Kathy too.
Kathy and several other council members as well, who've been working on this, where it would be really being more aggressive in our outreach to businesses and our protection of existing businesses, and really highlighting the fact that in Ferndale, unlike other jurisdictions, things are really made here, and trying to promote that as much as possible.
Thank you very much.
Quick question for you, Rory. I saw the Building Industry Association. The people are challenging the county's comp plan. Is that going to impact our comp plan at all? Because, I mean, we got our numbers from them.
So there were two appeals made to Whatcom County before the end of the appeal period. One was the Building Industry Association, the Realtors, and a number of other groups. The second one was Jack Petrie, who is a land use consultant primarily in Bellingham, but also looks at different policies. Approach it from a similar perspective in some ways, and both appeals basically stated that they believe there are questions related to the county's numbers, not least of which the fact that neither the city of Bellingham or the city of Linden have yet adopted their comprehensive plan.
Linden hasn't.
Has not yet, because they didn't have a plan.
Oh,
yes,
for the
yeah.
planning.
And yet the county was able to adopt their comprehensive plan a couple of months before it knew what was in those other cities. I don't think that it's going to affect us directly. It may affect us indirectly. There was nothing as in my quick reading that placed a target on any city of Ferndale action. It was much more the county. Okay. Probably of more lasting effect is going to be the Washington Supreme Court decision related to water rights. And Wells, which again will probably have an indirect impact on us, but I don't think there's going to be anything that would invalidate our process.
Okay, thank you.
It's an outstanding question, though. It's important. Keep an eye on it. Our new finance director.
I do not have anything.
Okay. City Clerk Duncan?
Yep.
Communications Officer Riley Sweeney.
I just want to note that we completed Operation Green Hornet last Thursday, and it was an enthusiastic success. I know that we always say that when we do a drill, but really all the processes worked pretty much the way that we expected them to do, and it worked quite well. And it was a credit to all 35 other agencies that the city worked with that came together so well. So we actually had observers from other law enforcement agencies and other school districts who are taking what we're doing in Ferndale and trying to recreate it in their jurisdictions. So we're a model for this sort of activity. So just wanted to say well done.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. And our city administrator, Ms. Young.
I'm fine.
Good. That concludes most of the regular business, I think. We now have an executive session. I'll explain that. Let me read the ordinance for the RCW first. Pursuant to RCW 4230.110, paragraph G, we will now enter into the executive session to discuss non-represented employee contract. The session will last approximately 50 minutes. Action may be taken after the session. We have some 3 or 4 unions and guilds for our employees, and every 2 or 3 years contracts come up and we discuss those and approve those. But we do have a handful of employees that are not represented, and most of those contracts have come due, and so we're going to discuss those. There aren't very many things we're allowed to go into executive session about, very few in fact, and this is one of them. So we're going to move, I believe, next door. About 15 minutes, and you're welcome to stay in here during that time.
Are you saying 5 minutes or 15 minutes?
I'm sorry.
Are you saying 15, 1-5, or 5-0?
15 minutes.
1-5.
Okay. So you've got Devin one here, so I was hearing 5-0 minutes.
So we'll head next door.
I heard the same thing. I was trying to take that one.
Yeah.